Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols back again with a tactical fitness report, and we are going to discuss exactly what human optimization and resiliency is. Now, you may have seen in the past few weeks and I guess later in the year, last year, we actually did a human optimization and resiliency seminar. And a lot of people asked what that was. They asked, is this a Buds Prep program? No. It's a human prep program, right? And achieving certain levels of ability throughout all elements of human activity. So let's think about what those elements are, Jeff. We have, let's start. Obviously, we're teaching people physical training,
right?
So let's dig into that one. Yeah. Let's dig into that. So what with physical training, you know, you're going to learn how I do periodization. Like I said, you're also going to learn the way Jeff does block periodization. Like I said, these aren't necessarily the way to do it. It's just a way to do it that has worked, right, you know, throughout years of our history of using these type of periodization programs. And, you know, and with that's going to tie into your overall athletic performance. So that's how we kind of focus on the physical side of human optimization.
Yeah, it's physical for us, and this is, I guess, for the person that may not have the tuned eye, I guess, a little bit. It may look like Stu and I program very differently, but essentially from a 30,000 foot view, our first step that we do for any athlete, usually outside of an assessment, right, as far as we're talking programming, is build a really good base, right? And that's where people are like, well, you guys don't do the same thing. Well, unfortunately, we can't, our programs can't interact with people, but if you listen to what we say, we're going to say, well, depending on what your needs are, that's where you start your program. So we got to get past the idea that the program is the reason why we're in a bad starting point. We got to pick the right one. So fundamental foundational work, and that's really important, and that's it's super unsexy most of the time, but that's the big foundation for us. Is And that foundational work then leads on to some other things, for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's more than just, hey, here's a program, right? It's, you know, listening to what your needs are, where your athletic history has brought you to today, what types of injuries and strengths and weaknesses are you bringing to the table today, and then where do you want to be tomorrow? That is what, you know, trainers look at whenever they are trying to create programming for you and for what your goals are. And that's what we discuss in these human optimization and resiliency programs. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's Buds related or SF related or SWAT related, or just, you know, we have professional athletes that are there too, you know, and trainers who are trying to learn a system of training. You know, so when people say, hey, is this a Buds program? No.
No,
it is not.
No,
it is.
No, and that's. I think that's where, again, we're learning from the advertisement and marketing side of going, all right, well, who was there last time? Probably 40% of the candidates that were there last time were going for a selection and prep. Probably 20% of them were active duty, Air Force, SWAT, police,
Marine.
Yeah. Yep. So then it's like then we had we did we there was a couple of people that kind of looked at it and were like, well, I'm neither, but I just really want to improve, right? Everything. And that's, I think that what we often realize is that when we name a program tactical or baseball or football or whatever it may be, what we're missing is a person is writing that to attract a demographic, not exclude others.
Right.
And so it's like, if it says a football program, if you look at it and go, well, we could also use it in this phase or whatever it may be. I'm not saying football, because bear with me, I'm not on track. Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, we do want to talk specificity, and that comes later on. And so that's where people go, yeah, Stu and I are very different in terms of specificity, like way out on the end of that fulcrum. But the closer you get to like us gathering athletes and before we start pushing them out the door, they look the same, really. They do. They just kind of have different checks.
Right. So, yeah, you know, and, you know, another group of people that also attend these, you know, human optimization resiliency programs are guys that are veterans who are also getting into or are into the training business.
Yep, trying to be practitioners, are currently
making that transition from active duty military into the fitness training world, because there's a need for it. There is a need for tactical fitness. People talk all the time, like, what is tactical fitness, right? And this is, I mean, I would say, you know, we are hitting on all the elements of tactical fitness in these human optimization and resiliency programs. But people also need to know is that we all need to have, you know, unless you're an athlete in a specific sport, we all need to have the skills of the tactical athlete. Yeah. Because if you don't, you're not an asset to yourself or to your family.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, folks, it's, you know, when we're talking the difference between sport or whatever, and there are obvious differences, okay? From a physiological standpoint, the reason why, I think, in part, why the tactical population has this real hard time of defining and gathering and creating this consistent starting point, that's a byproduct of the job. So, like in sport, for example, most sports, you can plan and schedule and coordinate. Yeah, I got it, the cliche, there's no off days. And that creates difficulty. But in perceiving how to program for something that's incredibly variable. Like, so we think, well, it must be ultimately variable to match up with variable. It's like, no, two negatives don't make, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Depends on what math we're doing here. So just bear with me. Kind of, that's why I paused. But so my point, though, is like, it's nice. I want you guys to just kind of pull back a little bit and go, yeah, I am training tactically. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, we want to more duplicate the demands of the job. And how do we do that? Well, we just, it's the same movement patterns you find in other sport. It's just grouping them a little bit differently, programming them a little bit different over time to better, not perfectly, but to better simulate the loads, the energy systems, and the demands on the body in that tactical environment that is, it's ambiguous at best. It's all over the place. Some, you know, 18-hour days, 2-hour days, 3 days off. Like, it's just madness, especially regional firefighters and so on. But think outside the box a little bit is my point.
Right. So anyway, Jeff and I handle that side when we're talking about the fitness training, the periodization and programming and all that part of the seminar. But we also have some great people who are going to help us with the nutrition side. So let's talk about Steve real quick and what he does. I mean, he is, you know, going to tackle it from not only all the stuff that, you know, the foods that we need for energy, whether that is to gain weight or to lose weight, but it's also how, you know, better to make our system, our guts better at, you know, absorbing these nutrients, you know, and starting with gut health. It starts with gut health. So
for sure,
Steve Smith is fantastic for that.
Yeah. So we definitely, again, the goal is to inform and educate as much as we can on this. So why not bring somebody in that can do both, right? And is a good storyteller and he's been on both sides, right? He has worked in the special forces population as a registered sports dietitian. He's done that in the sports world. Professional sports world, right? So the NBA, NFL, and some other organizations, college and whatnot. So it's like, okay. And it's really cool listening to Steve, because he started in the collegiate and pro space, ended up in the special forces space as a practitioner, as a dietitian. And then it's interesting because he was pulling some of the dietetic information, the tactical population, the clinical side, going, whoa, the demands are, wow, these are robust. These are extreme. And so having that sort of observation of the difference in the sports and the tactile space, so he can really go, all right, okay, the textbook says this, it's right, but now we need to expand our, so we got to open our mind up a little bit, because these guys don't have a schedule and it's goofy. So having him explain, see both sides, and then say, all right, we're not just talking food. We're really talking stress management. We're talking inflammation control. We're talking mood. We're talking all those sort of things. And go, well, what does that make sense? And that's why I'm kind of making this little sort of like, okay, we can do the physical. Now we got to see how we can optimize that physical from a standpoint of contraction, recovery, sleep. And I go, okay, well, that's not even a dead end. That's a byproduct of eating good then the brain is healthy. And that's all. And then we bring a guy like John Sullivan in. It's like, okay, they're all tied. The physical is tied to the health of the brain and the body, and it's done through good physical activity and what we put into it. So we really are trying to massage this sort of idea that they're all synergistic.
Right. And John Sullivan, you know, great guy, great teacher. He has been one of the sports psychologists for New England Patriots.
Yeah, for
years.
For 17 years or so.
Yeah, so do the math on how many Super Bowl rings he has.
Yeah.
You know, for being a part of that team. So,
right.
You know, that is a high-performing – he has a very good understanding of high-performing people.
Right. And that was our introduction to John. So a couple of years ago, because of the time spent between that particular NFL team – and a group that I was with, John was he was the bridge. He was the liaison for that communication. And then once that rapport was built with John, with our community, John was welcomed in the community to do the same sort of, hey, let's observe. Let's see where you're efficient emotionally. Because again, behavior drives it all. So he's looking at these very unique behaviors to the outside world, but he's like, wait a minute. A lot of these unique sort of manifestations of self-destructive behavior, positive behavior, winning, all this sort of stuff, mental state of resiliency, it's really common in sport, high performance sport, in the military. So it's like, what can we learn from John Sullivan that he's learned in the pro, high stress? Like, and that's where that corresponds to Cam. It's like, ooh, the Patriots aren't for example, like, or an NFL team is not in the business of sharing, and they shouldn't be.
Right.
Nor is our military, except for, like, you can look at NFL team and go, how are you guys selecting? And then they go, well, how are you guys deselecting? And see if they, like, we're not giving up national secrets, but from a standpoint, go, well, how did you know that guy was going to be, you know, not going to be a problem? He's been a problem historically in college, or like, and we say, well, this is why, and he's this, and we look at it and go, oh, you guys are profiling very similar to the Department of Defense.
Yep.
At that level, they go, oh, we're reading from the same textbook. It just has a different cover,
right?
You know? And so when you really are able to step back and look at other coaches and organizations and see like what really success is, you got to define what that is for you. It's like, is winning consistently successful, or is it something else, you know? And so
right.
Getting to see what we as fans see in organizations, like, well, there doesn't seem to be a lot of infighting. There certainly has been a lot of winning. There certainly seems to be very little of trash talking within, you know, and it's kind of like there's this ominous sort of behavior about the coach and the organization. It's like, well, no wonder, like, Belichick grew up in the military life, military family in Annapolis.
Very good point. There's a very big social emotional part to, you know, resiliency and human optimization, right? And explain a little bit just how we kind of get into that with this process of the seminar that we do.
Yeah, because so on this, again, we're using the term resiliency. It's a clinical term that we're using really because we can because of John Sullivan, Dr. John Sullivan. Because what we're going to be able to do, and we were successfully able to do that, or John really, in an observation, was with the help of what Mitch does. Mitch creates behavior. We create behavior. The SEAL community, like, what we do is good is that ominous sort of, there's a behavior creation, right? We're going to create a stressful behavior safely, effectively, while we have a clinical sports psychologist there that's seen it for 20 years plus, and he's working directly with these individuals in those moments of stress to go, now is the moment, and this is how you do it, right? You can affect behavior change in the moment of critical behavior. You can. And that's exactly what Buds does. For example, it's just it forces you to make the decision,
right,
without anything else but your little shoulder angels. So that's the difference. Is we are effectively putting you in these situations. We, the stress makers, and then we have John Sullivan's and the guys going, all right, let's think about where we're at. Let's think about why we're doing what we're doing. Let's think about, are you feeling this? You're lightheaded. You're this. You go, oh, I thought this was just a natural byproduct. No. Focus on this. They go away. Performance improves. and he's able to do that in the moment, and it's pure magic.
It is pure magic. And I tell you what, if you're a trainer, you know, also, or a coach, you know, seeing what Mitch does, you know, and Jeff and myself, whenever we're putting guys through these, you know, for lack of a better term, Navy SEAL stressors, right? Yeah. They're basically spec ops related stress.
Stress positions that are
stress events.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting tired. You're getting winded. You're getting wet. You're getting uncomfortable. I mean, that's what this is. So we do pull from some of our skill sets from the past, right? But like I said, this isn't a BUDS prep program per se. No. This is a program that is going to help you understand where your breaking point is and how to not get to that point.
Yeah.
Right. And change direction instead of going down that side of breaking. And that's where, you know, having the clinical sports psychologist right there, you know, to be able to help us understand that process. But then, you know, some of the guys that were there that didn't participate in the actual physical beatdown per se, they were trainers who were getting a lot out of how we, you know, conduct that type of evolution.
Yeah.
So
there's some real, again, just understand, folks, there is some genuine thought behind all this, even on how to elicit a safe, uncomfortable physical response, because it doesn't do us any good to put you in a state of shock. There's no point of learning.
No. Yeah.
Right. And you also don't, you need to, if it's moderate discomfort, you may or may not get that physical. And that's why we're leaning on John, is like, it's weird. Like, we've been by proxy around discomfort enough that when we're around a practitioner like John, he's actually able to make us better practitioners, because we know how far, like, egos wants us to push. But if we're really watching and seeing, like, I'm learning watching John Sullivan, going, okay, me, old Jeff would have been like, now's the time to put the hammer to him or something. Or it's like, now's time to play good cop.
Right.
Watching him do it, it's like, he's not even trying to be anything other than helpful. And that for me is just incredibly eye-opening to see. It's like, we're not, because me, I'm trying to push to create a response. And in it, we're pushing, all of us. But then you see him come in and go, you just see this change in this person and go, man, that I never would have thought I would have gotten that response out of that person.
I tell you what's neat is because, you know, this evolution is very physical, and it pushes you to a point where, okay, you're physically beat. You're physically tired. Mm-hmm. Now you have to find that little missing energy that's within you, right? Because I've always said your body is 10 times stronger than your mind will let it be.
Yeah.
Right. So you just have to kind of disconnect that thinking part for just a second and just start moving again.
Right.
So it does become mental. It becomes very mental. You know, when they say it's 90% mental, 10% physical, that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about academic studies.
Unless you're Yogi Berra.
Right.
They're 90% mental, the other half is physical.
Right. So, you know, they're trying to push you to that point where you have to engage that part of your brain that says, okay, I want to do this. Right. Yeah. And Jeff or John sees that. He can see it in your eyes. He can see it in your face. And then
that's what he does for a living, folks. You understand? It's like, he's able to do these things because he's been interacting with high performers for over 20 years in the greatest, most stressful human environment situations, the pro sports and amateur sports and the tactical military to a degree has seen. Right. So it's like, why not bring in fucking Yoda? Why not? Why not do it? You know, it's like, and it's the thing is, does he know everything? No, but that's the beauty of it, is he's learning as well. And we're learning what you're going to see in a tactical, doesn't matter if it's military. There's not a lot of feedback. It's like, how am I doing? Shut up and get back in line. Like, that's how it is.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do here, to make sure that's not what we do. We brought a guy in like John Sullivan to go, all right, guys, you guys need to chill out. Let me take care of this and let me teach these people. And that's the beauty. Now we get to learn that too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the cool thing about resilience. And then we take that part of resilience, which is really, for lack of a better term, mental toughness. You know, so you learn that little skill. Then we top it off with a recovery segment where it's not just your physical recovery, it's your mental recovery, it's your emotional state recovery. Right. Yep. It's the entire body, mind and body. Yeah.
How do you feed an injured body? How do you treat an injured body? How do you mentally care for an injured body, right? Because it's like, oh my God, I got hurt. I only have, and I hurt my, I got bad plantar fasciitis and I got 12 weeks. Oh my God, what do I do? You think that your only issue right at that point is physical?
Right.
Then it goes, oh, you go into fight or flight mode. I'm going to push. And then we make bad decisions. So this is a great opportunity to just simply do this. Under duress, learn how to acquire the skill or begin to acquire the skill to overcome, because that's the big thing is everyone wants to be mentally tough. Everyone just says, go do this, go do that. And that works for many of us. But fortunately or unfortunately for some of us, and not mean unfortunately, but fortunately, it's like we learned this behavior somehow. And we were just going, I don't understand how people didn't learn this sort of behavior. Well, this is an opportunity as an adult, because we can, our conscious thought, we can go, oh, this is stressful. I'm going to stay here because I know these people aren't trying to hurt me. They're giving me an opportunity to learn. And then you have a guy like John Sullivan, Dr. John Sullivan. It's like, oh, I have the guy. I have one of the guys that's helping me here. Like, I'm going to listen. So it's good. It's all good. It's an opportunity to be vulnerable in a good way to overcome.
Yeah, there you go. And we also get very specific in what people need, you know, whether that is lifting in the weight room. You know, we may have some runners there that have never lifted. We may have some power lifters that, you know, don't need to lift, right? Yeah. They need to do something else. They may need to swim or they may need to run, you know. So, you know, we will be there to as focus on that sport specific part of training as well. That will include a very long swim session and a weight training running session.
So. Yeah. And just a last bit on that swimming piece, more than likely it'll be Stu and I directing how that goes. We're very mindful of, again, what we've said, well, what if 20% of the population isn't going to a tactical selection, we need to swim? Yeah, got it. And that's, but the beauty of swimming as a sport or as a physical activity, learning how to do things in a pool that aren't, like, I'm not a great swimmer, but if you can become a great kicker, use how to use fins. Now you just take this really wonderful tool that can be used in hypertrophy from deloading, all these sort of like, oh, because many gyms that people go to now have pools, especially the big gyms. So it's like, what a great opportunity. It's like, I'm not a great swimmer, but I went to this and I learned how to use fins.
Yep.
Now, like, bam, I got this whole aspect because I hate doing like runs on the treadmill.
All right.
So keep an open mind to that. We are going to accommodate that idea too. It's like, well, not everyone needs a swim.
Everybody needs to learn how to swim.
Yes.
If you don't, because you are completely ineffective on 75% of this earth if you don't know how to swim.
And rising. And rising. Just to be clear, the ice caps are melting.
Yeah,
it is. More water is covering earth.
That is why. Yeah, land is getting less and less.
So, Anyways, So that's what just in my summary is, folks, we're genuinely giving this some thought of how to bring a team together that's going to deliver you guys something when you walk away and go, I learned. I didn't just get information. I didn't get information. These guys taught me knowledge. They gave us knowledge, all of us. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. You know, when after going through that first one, I you know, was there, was teaching, and I thought, man, this is really good. And then I saw Mitch and you were doing the gut check, and I was just kind of, you know, standing back and watching, helping out when need be. And I was like, man, this really sucks. You know, I was just thinking of how they feel going through this. I'm like, this really sucks. I said, I can't see how they're going to get a lot out of this. Then, you know, it was probably the most received portion of the entire you know, 2 days.
Well, it's because you and I have already been, you guys are looking, you and I are looking at it going, fuck this. I don't ever want to do this again. That's why.
I guess, but.
You and I were driving over the Coronado Bridge like 2 months after graduating, Bud. And you're just like, oh, God, the idea of it. That's what you were going through that.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, it kind of, I guess it took me back to that moment, but, you know, it was very well received on not just the beatdown and how you handled it, but what you learned out of it.
Sure.
In which, you know, I don't know about you, but I've never really had a beatdown where I learned something other than just self-learned, like, all right, I didn't quit. I'm glad I didn't quit. You know, I'm tougher than I
thought. But I think that's the beauty of their diversity though, too, is because this isn't, it's not supposed to simulate buds. It's not. Right. What it is supposed to be, we all are different and we recognize that. We all have different teaching positives and negatives. And that's what I discovered on the beach is like, no matter how hard I can try, I can't be like anymore. I can't be a thoughtless goon just beating people on the beach anymore. Like and especially because I see how you all act, like even like with Ray there and his experience, it's like, I don't need to be anyone else. Right. And that's the really cool thing is you're going to get like difference from all of us, but all with the intent of making sure, like, I'm not trying to put my thumb on anyone. I'm trying to get you to the light a little bit.
Right. So anyway, you know, people use the term optimization, resiliency, mental toughness, and probably to a point of overuse. I don't necessarily think it's overused. I think it's underexplained.
It's
sense.
Understood.
People just don't understand exactly what they mean by it. And so with this, you know, multiple phase, system that we're creating, we're trying to create an entire human optimization resiliency program, you know, that helps you with all the elements of being human, you know, the mental, the spiritual, the physical, you know, and, you know, all that comes with it, and how to get your body back to that state where you're able to do it at your best as quickly as possible.
Right.
Because that, if you think about what you go through, whether that's a sports team, a selection program, or just life itself, you know, you go through a hard day's work. Guess what? You got to go to work the next day.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so your ability to recover from your day to day will mean a better tomorrow for you, better performance,
more consistency, better training. And that's the thing too, is, you know, it's not a super complex thing. And I think that's where, because, you know, humans, we are so inquisitive. We are, admittedly. And that's where it's like, a lot of times, unless there's a ton of complexity, we look at it and go, well, if it's not complex, it certainly can't be of great value. Cause it's like, we look at an iPhone and go, man, this is super complex, but there's somebody on the other side going, that was super easy to make. Mm-hmm. And we understand that Stu and all of our perspectives, like, man, like, how could you not figure this workout thing out? So it's really nice to be around that group of people to just see like how good coaching is. And that's what's super fun about this for our standpoint is we know that the folks, for those of you that are going to come, like, you're there to absorb, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I will tell you this, the thing that I left there probably the most impressed with was Kyle Maynard, right? That is a spectacular human being.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. And it will also make you feel like, all right, I don't have anything to complain about.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is not a cliche, folks. Like, you never know what you're going to get when you add this team together. But yeah, he's right. Like, you can look at Kyle and go, what's my excuse? And then you can listen to Kyle and say the same thing. Or you can be with Kyle, endure with all of us, learn with all of us, and then you walk away going, my life's not going to be the same. How about that?
Yeah. I love it. I love it. So this next seminar, you got questions?
March 8th through 10th.
March 8th, Beach. 10th in Virginia Beach. And you go to massivemindset.com, MASFmindset.com. You'll see it. I'll put the link in the description down here if you missed that. Yeah, it's, you know,
keep checking our Instagrams and stuff, because the lives and the just, we're going to continue to update and let you know, like we're going to cap it at 50, and we hope to see you there.
Nice. All right. So anyway, so let's do this next time. Let's break down human optimization and resiliency into multiple, a series. So we'll do a series on human optimization in the next week or so. Yep. And we'll do something focusing purely on the physical,
yep,
purely on recovery and resilience, and maybe even purely on the nutrition gut health side.
Sure.
And sleep. Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
I mean, I know we've done other podcasts with this, but I just want to link it into exactly how we define human optimization and resilience.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I don't think anyone would be opposed, because granted, the information we put out in the past, it isn't wrong per se, but you and I have been doing videos almost for 3 years now.
Yeah.
So it's like some of these things, like I've been wrong about a number of things the last 2 years in my teachings, or I've refined them.
Yes, absolutely.
This is our opportunity, folks. So we're going to start refining some of our information, because you know how fast these selection programs and military change anyway. Like, it's time to update. So that's what we're going to do.
Absolutely. They change like I change underwear.
As rank change, I guess, as leadership changes every couple of years, you can expect that it will. Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. All right, Jeff. Well, until next time, hope you guys check out the link in the description and come see us.
All right. See ya.